Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good show for you so far today. If you haven't been able to hear some of the conversations we had earlier, specifically with Hans von Spakovsky on the census, President Trump came out and said, guess what, folks? We're redoing the census. And I was like fist pumping in the air in my bedroom. Super excited, just by myself. He says on True Social, I've instructed our Department of Commerce to immediately begin work on a new and highly accurate census based on modern day facts and figures, and importantly, using the results and information gained from the presidential election of 2024. People who are in our country illegally will not be counted in the census. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Well said, Mr. President.
Yes, I think we all believe in our statesman at the highest office in, when we say that he is doing things that are for America.
I haven't heard from Ryan Shire Wigglesworth in a while.
I haven't either.
Is he okay?
No.
Was he okay?
No, he has severe laryngitis.
Yeah, you want, no.
No, I don't.
No.
Whatever you were going to say, no.
No, it was... The first 25% of it, of the thought, was funny. The other 75% was a disaster.
It was a good choice then.
Yes, thank you. Our YouTube poll for today, should President Trump redo the census? Yes, to count only citizens. Yes, to count anybody who has legal status. Or no. Now, you understand that the census is there to help distribute representation in the House of Representatives in Congress. And there are thoughts among those who are kind of looking at the possibility of what this Trump administration could do regarding how we have divided up the districts in the House of Representatives, that over 40 seats could be on the line. If they were to implement some of the Supreme Court rulings that would have to come into play regarding voting, specifically Tom Fitton, who I hope we're still trying to get on, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
He has filed a lawsuit against Illinois because you can vote for four. They take 14 days of ballots or something like that in the state of Illinois. As I said, banner week for the state of Illinois in the headline news. They say that's not constitutional. You can't do that. They're suing. We'll find out what happens. There are other lawsuits that are being filed right now to try to solidify the fairness of our elections. You have census reform, but you also have, you don't need the census to be redone for Texas to be able to do what Texas is trying to do. They just need to have a quorum, which means Democrats have to show up to do their job. Are they just going to not come back?
I think they might. I think they might stay out of the state for the next 6 months.
However long it takes.
I think if they make it to January, that would be long enough for Texas not to be able to do it.
Imagine being a loved one of those people. And how does that fit? I mean, okay, so the districts stay the same. Are the people who are in the districts of those who vacated their responsibility to show up and put up a fight in the state legislature, are they going to want, are those constituents going to want those people to be back there? Some of them will be like, heck yeah. And others might be like, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, this is pretty dramatic because we don't know exactly how this will play out. And the other thing is, if they actually stay out of the state for that long, you could make a very, very strong legal argument that they do not live in their district because they've spent so much time out of state that they don't live in Texas anymore.
When you're selling a property that you own, don't you have to say you've lived in it for a certain amount of time in the last 2 years or something?
Like for representation or just in general?
No, I'm just saying, like, I think in order to, it's different, but when you are establishing that you're selling a home that was your home, not like an investment property, that you have to say this, you just have to check a box that says this was my home for X amount of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to say it and usually prove it in some way.
And I feel like if you're representing other people who are living in that district, that the requirement to actually be there, especially in a state legislature. I get it. If you're in Washington, D.C. and you're representing people back home, you're going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the people who have a home in D.C. or around about D.C. and a home in their district. I don't know how you afford that, but I understand it. When I went to see Congressman Bost when I was in D.C. at the end of April, he showed me the room in his office that he sleeps in. His office is there. He's got a door that opens. It's got a bed there. It's got a TV on the end. It's like a dorm room.
It sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I was really struck when I was there about how consuming that role is. Like, it is what you do. If you've got other responsibilities and obligations in your life, those are going to come second. They have to. Because you're signing up to represent people. It's a very important role. And you can't part-time it. And, you know, some people like Eric Schmidt, when I was speaking with Senator Schmidt in his office when I was in D.C., he talked about he goes home every weekend. If he doesn't, it's the exception to the rule. But he wants to be as much of a presence with his family as he possibly can, because if that interview is on YouTube, and I didn't get super deep into policy conversations with him, but it's like, what's it like to be a senator and have your whole family at home? He still has kids at home that he's taking care of, and a family that he obviously would want to come back to, and he makes a priority to do it. Certainly with them being on recess right now, it's a little bit different of a situation, but it is a sacrifice. It is a commitment. It kind of makes me wonder the people who go there and just never leave it. Like, how do you juggle the rest of what you have? Like, Mike Bost, he's got a big family, but they're grown and they're gone. It's just a challenge.
Yeah, even if you do go to Washington, D.C. and take up, I don't know about residence, but you just stay there for the vast majority of your time. That's literally what you're elected to do. I mean, if you're Mike Bost or whoever, if you're representing Southern Illinois, you were not represented to be in Southern Illinois. You were represented to go to Washington, D.C. on behalf of Southern Illinois. The Texas Democrats, it's completely different. They have left their state. Where they go vote is not out of state. Where they vote is in their state.
Yeah, they've vacated all of their responsibility in what they're actually doing there. I'm going to put up this story here from ABC News. John Cornyn, everybody's favorite Texas Republican, said on Thursday that FBI Director Kash Patel has granted his request for the federal government to assist with locating Texas House Democrats who fled the state in protest of GOP-led redistricting efforts. This ABC News article by Brittany Shepard and Isabella Murray. Cornyn's letter requesting federal help with locating and investigating the state legislators was sent on Tuesday. This is what he said in a news release. I thank President Trump and Director Patel for supporting and swiftly acting on my call for the federal government to hold these supposed lawmakers accountable for fleeing Texas. We cannot allow these rogue legislators to avoid their constitutional responsibilities.
I can't believe I'm hearing that from John Cornyn. I mean, he's being pushed hard to the right by Ken Paxton. That's what I can assume.
The FBI declined to comment on the matter. Cornyn also joined the Mark Davis radio show on Thursday morning and expressed his gratitude for Patel's prompt response.
I really don't know how this happens. I mean, is the FBI going to go into St. Charles, Illinois?
In a Penske truck.
And throw these people in the paddy wagon and drive them back to Texas?
I hope they say paddy wagon.
Kicking and screaming? I have no clue what this looks like.
The FBI and Texas Rangers with their cowboy hats?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I really don't know how this happens.
I hope there are horses and lassos.
Me too. Because I think we in Illinois would all stop and watch. Oh, neat. Yeah. Look at the horses.
I just throw the Midwest nice at them. I wish I knew any of the legislators' names, because I would say, hey, fill in the blank here. Come here. You got to see this.
Are they all riding on horses without saddle? Is that called bareback?
We don't see that in the Midwest. You guys got to come see this.
Oh,
this looks like
one.
Some Texas-ish.
Mm. We'd have a festival. You guys, it's,
no, we wouldn't. We would have a potluck.
The old horse potluck. We're going to get together, eat some food. I'll bring a casserole.
Some beans.
We're going to watch the horses, you guys.
What is Brad, your potluck dish of choice to bring to the event?
Oh, man.
What do you guys bring?
I'm such a bad cook. My wife brings like a buffalo chicken dip, though. So
for the record, when your wife brings it, you can say you bring it, too.
Okay.
You have to represent the family.
We
that
bring
visits.
A buffalo chicken dip. Sometimes I will make chicken wings on my smoker, and that turns out pretty good.
Ethan, has joined the chat. What potluck dish are you bringing to the cookout?
Are we allowed to? Someone already said a dip. So do we? I don't want to be the one that's throwing in a second dip, but is anyone anti-multiple dips here?
Here's the thing about it, though. At a potluck, especially if the bigger the potluck, you might just end up with all dips.
Mm-hmm.
You can't regulate, because then you have to, like, thumb war wrestle over who gets to bring the dip.
Right.
Dips abound.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe in Dr. Strange and the multi-dip.
So you would. And
then I'm bringing
what's
a...
What's the dip?
Oh, man, you know...
Also could be a segment on the Annie Fry Show.
I'm gonna bring my mom into this, and I'm gonna see...
Oh, now you bring your mom into this. Oh, because you need somebody to make a dish. You're like, I'll go back to my mom, who I left for college and didn't even care. I didn't show her emotion.
Those are words being put in my mouth.
They're not wrong.
Are you bringing your mom into the potluck conversation?
I am,
Ethan.
Bringing my mom's refried bean dip to the potluck. She's going to cook it.
You're gonna
for
make
the
cook
people.
It?
She would gladly cook
no,
it.
No, she cooks it for her and the freaking AD.
No, she
you,
literally cooks it for
you.
Me.
No.
She knows that
right.
It is my heart.
But she cooks it for you, but you still got to bring your own thing.
That doesn't become my thing because I'm bringing it.
Are you bringing it or
yeah.
is she bringing
no,
it?
No. She's making it for me to bring.
No! You have a wife.
Yeah,
you can't go to...
She's not there yet. She's got work to do. She's got work to do.
You're in trouble. You're in double trouble. Triple trouble.
She's got work
me.
To do?
Yeah!
I cook my
like
dinner.
She's not in the phase of life where she thinks I need to bring something to
no,
a potluck.
She
oh
just
no,
is,
I think he just
she
said
just
she can't.
She has some work to do in her cooking abilities.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow. Oh, okay.
She is phenomenal at pasta. Outside of that, yeah. She's got nothing in the repertoire.
Chicken boil pasta.
I cook my dinner. I pre
Okay,
I
you're a big boy. We're all proud of you.
I meal prep all my food.
Have a cookie.
Listen, but here's
Does
what
Does she eat?
Only pasta?
I'm on the pasta
she
diet.
She is very picky. So she
I respect
eats
that.
Chicken nuggets.
Depending on the night.
Hot dogs, pasta.
Scrambled eggs.
Saucy nugs.
Pre-sauced?
This segment really
fell
off
together
very quickly.
For the record,
I'm bringing
you were in the steering. You had the steering
bean
wheel.
Dip. Refried bean dip
that you ask your mommy to make for you.
Yes,
do
and
you
I
play
have
it
no
off,
shame?
Do you play it off like, yeah, I brought that bean dip?
No, I'm not afraid to say my mom made it.
Clearly,
I have no shame.
That's one thing we can all agree on.
I have no shame.
Let's turn it over to Ethan. He can actually drive the next segment because it is time for Ethan Sports and Local next here on the Annie Fry Show. Don't go away. For me,
it happened. Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out.
Sports and Local.
News with Short John Silver.
Instead of long.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you for the...
How recently was that made?
Last week.
It was made last week. Okay, I didn't know if it had, you know, John had anything to do with Johnson from yesterday.
Oh, no.
Nothing.
No.
Got it.
Short, no. Boy, that would have been
Ethan,
3D chess.
Really impressive.
Are you taller than Ryan Wiggins?
Oh, absolutely.
According to our voice guy, you're
not.
That's
even,
weird.
It's not even
That is
close.
Really weird.
Yeah, Donnie, Short John, Silver.
I didn't know how tall you were, but I was pretty sure you towered over 5'5", so.
Yeah, I'm definitely
You do tower
over
5'5", but so do I, so we have that in common.
Do you tower over
Whatever you need to tell yourself,
though.
Ryan.
I do not.
Okay, hardly gotcha. Say 5'6 is towering over 5'5".
I wouldn't say that either.
With his shoes on.
And yet I am more than all of those things, in many ways.
Listen, I saw this story, and you guys have probably heard about this at least to a certain extent, but I figured it had to get brought up at some point because you all are theme park people,
mm-hmm.
right? Am
yeah.
I wrong there? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I'm hearing no objections.
You're very rarely right, but you are right.
Thank you, Ryan. The Union Station is adding a couple of new carnival-themed rides here at the end of the month. So I'm just going to kind of take you through some of the different things that they're adding. And while it may not be to the level of, you know, Cedar Point or Disney World like you guys are used to, it is kind of cool to see in the heart of St. Louis them adding rides and amusement. So a couple of different rides going to be opening up on Labor Day weekend, the first day being August 28th.
This Labor Day weekend?
Yeah.
That's like a couple weeks away.
I know. Yeah. August 28th. There's a bunch of different themes. Pirates, 1904 World's Fair.
They have a preview night that I might be taking my kids to, and I'm kind of excited about this.
I want to go.
Well,
with you and your kids.
I don't know if you meet the height requirement. Yeah. Ethan?
I do for the wheel. I've been on that. Been on that wheel.
I have to strap him in the special seat. Go on.
Because I jump around too much. You guys can tell this guy's a jumper.
Couple of different...
Strap him down!
Like, wee, the wheel! Yay, I can't wait! It's going to be so fun. I'm going to be so high. I can see everything.
Couple...
His own little cart. Just like
put that, put that guy in the separate cart.
Put the chest strap on.
Wee!
Like that pig in that insurance commercial.
A couple of different rides. The first one being called the Flying Louie. 42-seat. The 42-seater, shows off views of the city between its dips and rises, with Union Station representatives saying it's destined to excite guests. Here's the problem. You have to be 48 inches tall to ride.
Oh,
so Ryan,
no, that's so sad.
48 inches. That's not even like the max of the kids' ones.
Maybe next year, Ryan.
Locomotion reaches a height of 22 feet. Train-themed locomotion provides gentle twists and turns that it says will thrill guests. The one that is showing currently on the stream is the Wave Swinger, and it is themed from the 1904 World's Fair. The classic swing ride spins 25 feet above the earth, it says, in an exhilarating frenzy.
Pineapple-themed.
Did you say pineapple themed?
Mm-hmm.
There's also going to be numerous carnival games as well while they're sampling the new ride. So kind of exciting to see Union Station. You look at just the great direction that it has gone in here over the past couple of years, and it continues to add to it.
Yeah. Fox 2 Now's got a lot of the stuff up there that you can peruse if you want to see it and
it looked like there
give
was
it a look.
There is a roller coaster.
Yeah,
it's
that's the first one
coaster.
He said.
Okay.
Yeah, the Flying Louie. The Flying Louie.
If you're looking for a place to go for the evening and you want to do dinner and you want to do something fun and exciting, the aquarium there is very cool. It's really fun. I worked at Union Station from 2009 till 2018, almost 10 years. I was going down to Union Station every day for work. And oh my gosh, what they've pulled that out from. The ashes, it is so impressive to go down there. There's a Build-A-Bear down there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
really? World headquarters of Build-A-Bear.
What the heck?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was here.
Super great date material if you need to make up with your wife for saying that she sucks at cooking.
Actually, it's where I went on my first date with my wife.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It was sure it before is. They redid everything?
Was it open?
Yes, it was open.
This used to be Union
Station. We did the wheel, we went to the fountain, and we had one of those big old fancy shakes.
Let me tell you about the history of Harry Truman.
So stupid.
Okay, switching to some more sad news here that's happened today in the Metro East area. Two people have been pronounced dead after a helicopter crashed into a barge on the Mississippi River near the Melvin Price Lock and Dam, which is right by Maple Island, right there in Alton, Illinois. Apparently, it got the helicopter, I guess, tripped up on some line and lost control. And you could see up on the stream, there has been some visual. Landed on the barge. Fortunately, nobody that was on the barge was harmed. No one injured. But unfortunately, two people pronounced dead that were operating the helicopter, according to the National Transportation Safety Board. Happened at 11:05. The barge did catch on fire. No information as to if the fire has been put out yet. The river Has been shut down as of, let's see, about an hour and 15 minutes ago. There was also a power line that fell into the water with the helicopter colliding into it. So very sad news in the Metro East area.
I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Lock and Dam. It's a pretty amazing Army Corps of Engineers, you know, project that they
went one time in school for a field trip, but I don't think I've been since I was a child.
My friend's dad volunteered there for a long time, and so we went up there when I was just probably 5-10 years ago. But the amount of barges that go through there is pretty remarkable. Still, though, for that helicopter to have crashed and hit a barge is amazing, because you'd think the chances are likely 90% that they're just going to hit the water, that they still hit a barge.
I wonder if they were, if there was an attempt to land it, though.
That's the only thing I could come up with, is that they were trying to
how
get
much
onto
something.
I'm thinking
of a helicopter spinning out of control and how difficult it would be to...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. Two people lost their life in that. Do you have another story? Is that it?
Yeah, I can go ahead and do one more. Finish on a little bit of a bright. Well, I guess you could argue it's a brighter note. I think I talked a couple of weeks ago about how I tend to skip over a lot of the, you know, the violent crime stories that you see on local news, whether it be murder or, you know, robbery. Mm-hmm. This one turning in a better direction, right, where victims of a robbery were able to fight back. A victim shot two suspects during an armed robbery Tuesday evening at a South St. Louis park. Police say the victim exchanged gunfire with the suspects, was also wounded. This happened around 5:30 on Tuesday at Amberg Park, located in the Dutchtown neighborhood. According to the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department crime summary report, the victim was sitting in the park when two armed suspects approached him and demanded his backpack at gunpoint. After handing over the backpack, the victim quickly drew his own firearm and exchanged shots with the suspect. So, like I said, it's a better story in the sense of, you know, someone was able to fight back for themselves, but in reality, it still is it's an unfortunate, sad story.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the local and sports news. Do we have sports today? Local.
No sports. Cardinals won a series against the Dodgers.
I saw it was MLB on Fox or something like that. They won the series?
Won the series.
I saw
two great wins.
The post, I think it was MLB on Fox. It was the post game from last night, and I didn't watch the game at all, and the post from them was like, The Dodgers won the game, but the Cardinals won 5-3.
It was MLB Network. It was Greg Amzinger, who's a St. Louis native, actually.
Yes.
And his argument was because Shohei Ohtani pitched so well as he's continuing to work back from
through
injury.
Through
four innings as he continues to vamp back up. They found that they got that ace quality pitcher back that they haven't seen in a long time because he's been injured.
Yeah.
So,
and if you're looking long term, one game against the Cardinals versus what Shohei Ohtani on the mound does for the Dodgers, that's a win.
A lot of people are kind of giving him heat, like that's such a stupid thing to say. It's a very accurate thing to say. It is. It's a win for the Dodgers
with the Ethan Hannaford endorsement. All right, let's take a quick break. Annie, are you okay with Trisha in studio next?
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Trisha.
Hi, Annie and crew.
It's Thursday.
Woo!
Officially now. I've said this before, but this is when my weekend starts.
Here we go.
Take it away.
Let's kick it off. Man faces charges after allegedly pooping in a pizza box.
Oh my God.
That's not illegal, is it?
Why do you want to know?
It's a misdemeanor. A Pennsylvania man is facing charges after allegedly pooping in a pizza box and trying to return it to a local restaurant.
That's where he messed up.
We needed the whole story.
A restaurant employee testified he was working when the 37-year-old man entered the restaurant and placed a pizza box on the counter, claiming he was given the wrong order.
I didn't order this.
The employee opened the box and found pizza slices covered by human feces.
Oh, no.
The man is charged with misdemeanors of open lewdness and disorderly conduct.
Oh, he ruined the pizza in the process.
Annie, are you okay with sending food back?
No.
Only if it's done that way.
If there's poop involved.
Like if you're in a sit-down restaurant.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
I It's not the rule. I think that you can send food back, but you gotta kind of assess the situation. That you gotta understand the server, if the server is gonna be nice about it.
Like, how messed up does the food have to be? You get the complete wrong order, do you send it back?
I only really would get steak from a steakhouse. I wouldn't, but I don't want it rare. I have moved into the place where I can order my steak medium, mostly because my husband would shame me otherwise. But if it comes out and I feel uncomfortable about it, I just look at Jared and I like put the fork on top and squeeze it, and he'll go, "It's fine," or "You should send that back." But I think a steakhouse should want to get that right. I think that's kind of an acceptable question.
You don't like it rare, is what you're saying? If there's too much juice,
you
send it back if there's too much of the juice?
Too red, too pink.
Okay.
Too red. A little pink's fine.
Excuse me.
Stop it. But, man, if you just don't really like something, if the server asks you, like, if they notice that you haven't really eaten your food, and they ask you, like, "Is everything okay?" I might say, "Yeah, this isn't exactly what I thought it was going to be." I can think of a time where maybe I did that. And they're like, "Oh, let me get you something else. What else do you want? We'll just put it in." And it's usually like in an Applebee's when they're not busy and the waitress wants a good tip. If there's any sort of attitude coming from the server or the management or anything like that, that food's not going back. I'd rather be hungry.
Mm.
What about you, Ryan?
If I would say in the circumstance that Trisha presented, I would probably send it back.
With the poop?
Yeah. Excuse me, ma'am. This
that
pork tenderloin
said,
seems to have been defecated
gross.
On.
Gross. Do you send food back? I bet you do. I bet you're a real diva.
Not much. I just care about people too much.
Oh, stop it.
And their lives and their time.
Especially Ron DeSantis.
Ryan, you're kind of a baby.
It's not true.
When you're not...
It's not
satisfied.
True. I am particular about things.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that I inconvenience others around me. Now, if there's human feces on it.
Nobody's talking about it in that context.
Trisha was at the
Ethan,
very beginning.
Yeah, I know, but that wasn't the question. Ethan and Brad, are you sending food back?
I've sent food back. But it's usually like, I didn't order this. This isn't actually what I ordered.
If it's cold, I'll send it back. I'm not eating cold food. Outside of that, it would have to be like pretty extreme for me to send it back, probably.
Yeah. And if you send it back and the server gives you an attitude about it, it's like, "I'm not eating that."
No, it's coming back with poop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It depends on where you are, though.
You worked at Applebee's for a long time.
I did.
What'd you think about people? Did it depend on how they sent it back?
Mm-hmm.
How often did you defecate on it?
It depended on how often they were sending it back. Was it the same people sending it back
if
over
it was
and over?
The third time I tried.
The third time, it's like, man...
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thousands of hot dogs spill across busy highway. This is also out of Pennsylvania. A mechanical problem caused a tractor trailer to scrape along a concrete divider, scattering hot dogs across the highway. In a statement that I'm not sure needed to be made, the local fire chief said, "Once those leave the truck and hit the road, it's all garbage."
Well, yeah.
A front end loader was used to scoop up the dogs and drop them into a dump truck. Annie, are you okay with hot dogs?
Ketchup, American cheese out of the wrapper in the microwave. Ketchup after you take it out of the microwave. That's how you eat a hot dog. On some bunny bread, white bunny bread.
What?
No, you lost me on that.
I didn't invite you. You weren't with me.
Yes, you did.
We weren't here in this space together at all.
It was trending in the wrong direction, and then it just got awful.
Fresh, white
bunny bread.
Slice of bunny bread.
Dear God.
Hot dog. That's been microwaved. If it's refrigerated for 45 seconds, you put the American cheese on the bread, put that dog in there, and some ketchup in that. Mm-hmm. Is how you eat it.
You ever done carbecue?
Please enlighten us.
I haven't. Could you tell us what that is?
Oh, yeah. So you put a bunch of hot dogs in foil, and then you put it next to your engine.
Yeah,
that would be a Brad word.
All the time.
And then you drive somewhere, and by the time you get there, your hot dogs have been cooked.
Ah, carbecue. I get it.
Carbecue.
Wow.
Next to your engine,
carbon.
A Brad word.
Poisoning.
I don't know if that's
engines,
true.
Engines, often associated with Brad.
It's a Brad word. Engine.
What's the best way to eat a hot dog? You're making it for yourself at home. There's no, like, presentation. It's not... It's just I need to eat a hot dog quickly on my way to go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. How are you making that hot dog?
I'm warming up in the microwave, definitely not boiling it because that's gross. And then I'm just cutting it up and eating it in ketchup or barbecue sauce.
You're cutting it up?
No bun.
Wow. Son,
he's not a child.
He's throwing shit.
You're cutting it up? Yeah,
with a knife and fork. And then I'm putting a little napkin on, too.
Do you really cut it up into bites?
Yes, I do.
Brian. You have a monocle on as well?
Maybe, if I need to see it with one eye.
No, he has a bib on. In his little high chair. So in case he makes a mess.
I can't wait to get on the St. Louis wheel. This is going to be so fun. I can see the whole city from here. Can you guys cut up some hot dogs for me?
Not too big, so he doesn't choke. How do you make your hot dog, Ethan? How does your wife make your hot dog?
Well, this is pretty simple. You start a fire, and then
you
roast it up.
Pretty simple.
If you're in a hurry and you're going A to B, how do you cook a hot dog?
You start a fire, and you roast it up.
Get your two sticks.
My mom always boiled them growing
my
up.
My mom!
And I don't think I've had a hot dog since I don't think I've made my own hot dog since I have moved out of
my
house.
Are you opposed to boiled hot dogs? Ryan was pretty offensive there.
I'm against
towards
it.
No, I'm just.
But I don't make producer money either. Apparently, this guy never eats a hot dog.
I don't think any of you do.
You can tell because
hot
he
dogs.
Has to make a fire
no,
to cook
thank
his
you.
Food.
Rather go down to the pub, have myself some.
What was the question? I like hot dogs.
Fish and chips.
Yeah. How you feel about hot dogs?
Ketchup. Add it.
Yeah. All right, and finally, speaking of babies, stressed out adults are turning to adult pacifiers. Thousands of young adults in China are self-soothing with binkies.
Oh, gosh.
In public or... okay, all right.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a kink.
Priced anywhere from...
What are you talking about?
You can get some of these binkies anywhere from $1.40 to $70.
What?
And they're being sold as sleep aids, stress relievers, and even smoking cessation tools.
Are they that different than just a binky? Like a baby's
they're
binky?
They're the exact same. They're just bigger.
But you...
Big binks.
Made by the company Bink Kink. Annie, are you okay with Bink Kink?
Chinese dentist weighed in, cautioning that prolonged use can impact your bite, strain your jaw, and even disrupt
yeah,
sleep.
That's the reason why you shouldn't do it right there.
Annie, are you okay with adult pacifiers?
No. False. I am okay with them because it would be the quickest way to know.
Know what?
Everything that you need to know. Yeah. Just think if you could go out into the world and you just see some people, some grown adults with pacifiers. You immediately know what to do.
You know?
$70?
Take your time and think about it before you say anything.
There are some very nice binks on the market.
If I need to get to sleep, I may not be entirely against it.
Does your do we talk about your son's name on the air? I almost said
his
it.
His Bernie.
I didn't want to out your son and make him a public figure. Did you guys use a pacifier?
Yeah, still do.
What do you call it?
A binky.
A binky?
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys have binkies in your house?
Bubbies.
Bubbies? Bubbies
never
and
heard
sissies?
That
one. No, both of them call them bubbies.
I bet you could get some $70 binkies at Bubbies and Sissies.
What is a bubby? Is that a store?
Kinda.
We always got ours at Harry and David.
Google Bubbies and Sissies.
Okay. We just order ours on Amazon.
Does anybody else in here know what Bubbies and Sissies is?
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Okay. Thought it was made up for the bit.
Now
me too.
People are wondering why I know what Bubbies and Sissies is.
I was trying to play along. I was like, hey, Bubbies and Sissies,
no,
that sounds
weren't.
Like something fun and
you
funny.
You said, what is that?
I was trying. I was trying to find the groove there and help the joke, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Okay, we're done.
That's it. That's all I have.
It's the weirdest segment we do. I don't understand what's happening ever. Bubbies and Sissies, look it up. We won't be having a remote there. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, the results of today's YouTube live chat poll. Should President Trump redo the census? He put on True Social today that he's directed the Department of Commerce to get on it, get it done. What do you think about it? Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. It's always a pleasure to be able to spend some of this time with you and most of the people in this room at the same time. It's great. Just wonderful.
Most.
I include myself in the most. Thank you.
I don't.
You don't include you, or you don't include
him? He doesn't include himself. I can speak for him.
Yes.
I told you. I told you that he was not going to include himself in the friendship.
What are you talking about?
The YouTube live chat poll. Should President Trump redo the census? Yes to count only citizens. Yes to count all with legal status, or no? We're going to get to the results with Ethan here in a minute. What's your answer, Ryan?
I could really go either way on the yes to count with legal status or yes to count only citizens. I'm going to say only citizens, though, just because I think that if we did legal status, that could still be abused in some way. Mm-hmm. So I will say yes to count only citizens, but I would really like to see, I really am a yes to this for sure, a no-brainer that President Trump should redo the census because it was done so badly, openly admitted that it was bad. The Census Bureau knows that they screwed it up in 2021, and it needs to be redone.
Don't you? I mean, to me, the no-brainer here is yes to only citizens. That doesn't mean that you wouldn't count people who have legal status. I think that number should be known. In the state of Illinois, I think that Illinoisans should understand how many people have decided to come to Illinois and have been granted legal status, and to understand, okay, maybe I'm making numbers up, 5% of the people in the state of Illinois are here under legal status. They're in the system and they're benefiting the state of Illinois through being workers, through learning, whatever it might be. I also think that we should do our level best to count people here who are here and report the number illegally, because this is what I want Illinoisans to understand. You're a sanctuary state. Your governor repeatedly, and the mayor in Chicago, certainly Brandon Johnson, has said this repeatedly about Chicago, have repeatedly said, we are here to protect all of our residents. You're protecting all those people with the taxpayer dollars of the people who only have a percentage of the representation in the vote. So if you're trying to pad the system with numbers, and we're just counting heads, it reminds me of the beginning of Home Alone when they're just counting heads to get into the car to go to the airport. And guess what? You counted a head that wasn't supposed to be counted. And that caused problems, obviously, down the road because Kevin was not in the vehicle. When you're just counting heads, the people who actually are supposed to have an actual vote to elect those representatives, there are people that are factoring into that equation that don't actually get to have a vote because they haven't done what they need to do to have a vote. They can acquire one. There's a system that exists that they can go through so they can acquire said opportunity to vote. But the representation in our elected government should only reflect the people who have the ability to vote them in and vote them out. And to me, that's as simple as it gets. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't know how many people are among us that have a legal status, and how we shouldn't know the number of how many people that are being brought in to take the resources away from the tax pool of the state of Illinois, because actually it might affect my voting habits if I realize that the people in elective office are taking, making up numbers again, 10% of all the taxpayer money that comes in, and it's going to people who aren't even actually in the system. I got a problem with that. A representative government should be dictated on the people who are part of the system. And if you want to be a part of the system, do the work, the time, whatever it needs to be to become part of the system. I say citizens only, but I would like to know the numbers on everything. Brad, what do you think?
I think citizens only. I think that you remove any incentive for somebody to come here illegally, and to get some sort of representation is, in fact, an incentive for somebody to come to the United States illegally. You don't get anything for coming here illegally. Nothing. So I think you only count the citizens because of all the things you said plus that.
Ethan, why don't you give us the results today's YouTube live chat poll.
252 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Should President Trump redo the census? 10% say no. 14% say yes to count all with legal status, and 76% say yes to count only citizens. That's your YouTube live chat poll.
Yeah, 76% is a pretty resounding victory there. I think I agree with that. I think, is that what we all said? That was our response across the board. We thank you for being with us today. A reminder, go to AnnieFryShow.com and you can watch the show over. You can podcast the show at AnnieFryShow.com. Lots of stuff there for you to take in. You can give us feedback as well. Mark Rudin Show next. Don't go away.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.